Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti, and I'm in company of Jason Segel, who has just directed, produced, and written Dispatches from Elsewhere, the anthology series, finally on Amazon Prime Video in the UK and Italy from June 15, and which participated in the Berlinale series section in the Berlinale 2020. So, Jason, you directed it, produced it, written it, and acted in it. Why did you decide to do all this?
I really went on a journey to figure out what I wanted to make next and what I wanted the rest of my career to be like. Thank you so much. After my TV show ended, and I had a string of romantic comedies that sort of came to a natural end, and I wanted to figure out what I was going to do with the rest of my career. And this show, in a lot of ways, is me throwing down the gauntlet, reclaiming who I was when I wrote Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and like ended a movie with a lavish Dracula puppet musical because I thought it was great, and I wasn't thinking about strategy, and I was sort of saying, this is who I am. That's what this show is at 40. It's the grown-up version of that. You know, I think you'll see as the show progresses and gets to episode 10, I did the 25-year-old version of full frontal nudity in Sarah Marshall, which is literal. and I think that this show, I haven't thought of it this way till now, but I think this show is the grown-up version of that same impulse. Of what if I just show you everything and see how we all relate, you know?
It's psychological nudity.
I think so. I think that's exactly right, yeah.
Was that scary to put it out there?
Yes, but I think that that's what I've always been good at, in a way of how honest are you willing to be on screen, pushing the boundaries of pride and shame, and to do that emotionally in this series was exciting. I felt like I lived unafraid professionally for too long, and I wanted to reattack that idea.
How did turning 40 impact all of this?
Well, the only literal thing was I had made a promise to myself at 33 that I wanted to direct by the time I was 40. That somewhere on this journey of exploration, I should try to direct. Because somebody said to me around that age, it feels as though what you like best, how I identify, is someone who makes stuff. I think of an idea, and then I summon everything I have to turn it into something tangible. And I should take that all the way. I should direct it as well.
What was the starting process of Dispatches from Elsewhere? What were you looking for in terms of creativity?
I was prepping for a movie called End of the Tour, where I played David Foster Wallace. And so I was reading all of this existential crisis writing. So I think I was in that state of mind. And I was really on a very similar journey to what the David Foster Wallace, who I was portraying, was going through in that movie. And I saw a documentary about this art experiment that happened in San Francisco in 2012. And I think it hit me at the right time. And I probably reacted disproportionate to the occasion, but I just remember being alive and on fire, like, this is it. This is what I need to write about. And I called I got a hold of the creator of the real experiment, and he hung up on me. And I told him my idea, and he said, this is interesting, but not yet. Click. And I was stunned. I haven't been hung up on ever. And about a month later, I got an email with a time and a location in San Francisco. And it was a real adventure. And so I made my way up to San Francisco at the time and the location, and I was put through the induction that you see in episode one. And when I finished it, I got another email that said, we've been watching you. You have divine nonchalance, and we're giving you the rights to this project.
Did you base your character on your experience, or is it entirely fictionalized?
No, what it was for me, and obviously I have lived a very, very blessed life. But I think for me, being on a sitcom for 10 years and churning out romantic comedies that I felt like were taking my first success and trying to stretch it as far as possible, at 33 years old, I looked around and felt like I have no idea who I am. So that was the start of Peter, is a guy who realizes that he hasn't done a personal check-in in so long that he essentially has no identity.
How did you conceive the other characters?
Yes, well, I wanted to create four characters in different states of existential crisis. I wanted to paint them as differently as possible, and then as an exercise in empathy, ask us to picture each of them as us. And my goal is that by the end of the series, you look at all four of those characters and say, yes, that is me. And if we can do that, then maybe we realize we're not all so different.
Well, we heard at the beginning of the show something like life without risk is the most devastating costume. Is that your motto now?
Yes, I think so. I think, a life unexperienced is pretty sad, and it doesn't need to be big. Again, it's these people are just changing their life by going down an alley that they normally pass by. Oh my gosh, there it is. There's the mural that has existed in my city for the whole time I've been here and never noticed it. So you start noticing these little acts of magic.
Do you think that at some point you need to take this kind of risk in your life to feel fulfilled?
Yeah, no, I mean, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I think I've come to realize that a lot of these feelings of there should be more are remedied very easily by recognizing that it exists, that it's there for me. It's right there. I mean, even this city, I couldn't sleep last night. So at five, I started walking around. I went to this brunch place called the House of Small Wonder. And then I ended up at Museum Island and went through all the museums. And I thought, oh, it's all here. All the beauty is here, but it's just so much easier to sit and watch TV.
How did you come up with the intro to the series? The sense of respect towards the audience that love series and the language. Let's say that I have to say we really, really loved it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Well, thanks. I have had that idea for a really long time. And it started with how easy it became to watch previews of movies on the internet. Because then I'd be like, all right, this is a movie about them getting in a bus and crossing the country. So why are you making me wait 25 minutes for them to get in the bus? Just like, get in the bus. I know what this movie is about. And so I've had that idea for a really long time, and this series was my first chance to use it, of just like, let's just get on with it. We all know what this is about already.
You mentioned that How I Met Your Mother is still everywhere. So how did you feel about the ending of it?
Well, I think we all felt as though it was time for us to be done. You know, we had told that story. It's about a guy trying to find the love of his life, and we were now all pushing, you know, mid-30s, 40s. It was starting to feel creepy, like skulking around bars trying to pick up girls. But I was in a long-standing relationship. But, I mean, listen, by the end, I had become a Supreme Court judge, I think. I mean, oh, you can't take this much further. I felt like really nostalgic by the time we finished. I cried really hard in that final episode. The final scene was all of us at that wedding venue saying goodbye to one another. And I just remember looking at us and thinking, man, I was 24 when we started. And I'm a man. I'm like a grown man now. And all, like, Allison had children, and Neil had children, and Kobe was married, and I think she had kids at the time. And it just was like, wow, these were formative years that we spent together. We talk every once in a while, send each other texts, like, hope you're doing great and all that stuff, but we haven't all gotten together. So I don't know if CBS wants to do that.
We just watched the first two episodes, and if the remaining ones are as good as the first two, it's so far the best show of the year. So how did you work to keep the pace, the sense of adventure, and the rhythm in the remaining episodes?
Yes, I promise you, it only gets weirder and more exciting, and also, in its own way, more human. I think the show, for me, without giving too much away, is my version of The Wizard of Oz, which I think is the best story ever told structurally. And so the first four episodes are each of those main characters' songs. One needs a brain, one needs a heart, one needs courage, one needs to get home. And then they go and they try to find Clara, just like the characters went to find Oz, thinking if I can find this person, they can solve it. Only to find, as I think you can probably anticipate, like, oh, no one else can do this for you. Mm. It's going to be about the journey and each other, and maybe it was there all along.
The show made us think that escape rooms, for example, are sort of everywhere in every city. So what do you think people need this kind of illusion and entertainment?
Well, I would maybe question if what it is an illusion or a reminder. Because I do believe that that energy is available to you. You can experience life that way. Some people do, you know. I was just talking in the last interview, like, you look at the way Bill Murray lives his life and you have this you have this sense of someone who is refusing to view the world as mundane and is going to find this beauty everywhere he goes. And I find that idea very inspirational. I mean, that's what this whole original art experiment was about. Like, no, what if we all do this together? It's the exact opposite of Fight Club. What if, you know, we all have this sense there should be more, and you can either rage and beat each other up literally or metaphorically with booze and drugs and just dull it, or we can use art and community as an act of defiance.
Do you think that this is the key that put us all together? Cinema people, I mean, we all have this sense like we're living in a film in a way. With Antonio, we were coming here, we were kind of expecting something. I mean, you mentioned The Wizard of Oz and it simply clicked.
Well, I told you that they made me go and participate in the induction in order to give me the rights, and I experienced the same thing going through that, which it was essentially like a purity test of magic. Like, is this person worthy? It was like, is he in a Roald Dahl book or is he not? Is he going to be Harry Potter or is he not? And I think that the show is trying to scratch that same itch, but I don't know. If watching the show makes you feel that way, then it does exist.
Was it a difficult project to put together?
Yes. Every time you try to put a project together, it's really hard. And I think it's one of the things that I'm uniquely suited for is that I don't understand that you can't do it. You know, like it doesn't process to me. People told me all along the way that I couldn't do it for all these reasons. Like, they would give me a million reasons I couldn't make the show. And I just thought that they were all stupid. And I guess that's an important quality to have. And sometimes I'm wrong, but I wasn't on this one.
How much fun was to have Richard E. Grant on set?
Well, With Nail and I is one of my seminal influences.
Mine too.
Yeah, and so it was hugely inspirational. It was also the first thing I ever directed. Literally, his opening monologue was the first thing I ever directed in my life. And it was the first shot of the first day was just Richard E. Grant in front of that screen. And I felt like the luckiest person on earth.
What are you going to do next? Are you still working on this one?
There's some cool stuff in store. So I'm just doing the final bits and bobs, and then I'm going to take a little break. This one was 5 years.
Wow, really? Yeah.
5 years of heavy lifting, from getting the rights to writing it to all the stuff. And so then I'm going to take a rest, and I'm going to figure out what to write next.
Could there be a second season of Dispatches? I mean, did you conceive it as an anthology series?
It's an anthology by season. So you guys say series, I think. But by so each season would be standalone, and I have three of them marked out.
Thank you so much, Jason Segel, for presenting Dispatches from Elsewhere, the anthology series created by Jason Segel, produced by Jason Segel, and written by him, which is going to be on Amazon Prime Video from June 15. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.